So, Chevra, this week's parsha, we're finishing up the Makos. We've already experienced the first seven. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu is ready for the Makkah of Arba. And the parsha begins, I'm just reading from the Chumash, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Bo el Paro. Which is interesting. Come to Paro? Why not go to Paro? See, that's not our Rebbe's question this morning, but that's an interesting thing. And Bo el Paro. Go to Paro, come to Paro. Ki ani echbadeti es libo ves lev avadav. Because I have hardened his heart. That's why you're going to Paro? You're going to Paro because you've hardened his heart. Why is it Kadosh Baruch Hu in Paro? Do we find that Moshe doesn't want to go to Paro at this point? Hashem's forcing, encouraging Moshe to go to Paro because I've hardened Paro's heart? Ki ani echbadeti es libo ves lev avadav because I've hardened his heart? And the end of the pasuk is Laman Shisi Ososai Eila Bikirbo. So that I may display my signs. I have Makos, I have Osos, Ososai, my signs. I want to display these particular signs, Bikirbo, among them. So go to Paro, because I've hardened his heart, because I want to do some more makos. I'm just continuing to read in the Pesukim, and then we'll see inside. Ulaman tesaper ba'ozne bincha uven bincha es asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim. I like this pasuk, but I sometimes feel bad about this pasuk, a tiny bit. What does the pasuk say? Ulaman tesaper ba'ozne bincha uven bincha, so you can tell your children, and you can tell your grandchildren, es asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim. What does hisalalti mean? How I ridiculed, how I mocked Mitzrayim. That's what God does. God mocks Mitzrayim. But the pasuk says, you know, with a leitz, you have to sometimes act like a leitz. In other words, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, I don't really want to operate this way. But with the scoffers and with the mockers, you have to sometimes mock them back to put them in their place. It's not ideal. Hashem tzilcha, like it says in Tehillim, Hashem is your shadow, Hashem follows your lead. So if you're going to act like a clown, Hashem says, I'm going to clown around with you. Paro, you're not getting the message, so I have no choice. But Hashem says, I want it to be very clear. Hashem is trying to build our confidence, you know, thousands of years later. We live in a world where there's a lot of divine concealment, that we don't see the hand of Hashem. Hashem wants us to have a certain confidence to stand up for who we are. So Hashem says, I want to create a mesorah that you could pass on to your children. That if you mess with the Jewish people, there's going to be consequences, period. I want people to talk about the wonders that I worked in Mitzrayim. Because I want the Jewish people to know in a deep way that I am Hashem. Okay, those are the first two psukim of our parsha. There's 105 psukim, by the way, in this week's parsha. I always like to just mention that, the number of psukim. It's always an interesting thing. 105. Parsha Zebo has 105 psukim. Okay, so let's take a look at this piece on page Resh. Od Yomar Bo El Paro Ki Ani. Come to Paro because I've hardened Paro's heart. Says our Halakha Rebbe, the Mor Veshemesh, and for those who are new, the Mor Veshemesh was the student of Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk, again, one of the great classics farm of Chassidus, the Talmud of the Rebbe Reb Melech. Last year, we learned the Eish Kodesh, whose picture is on the wall. Eish Kodesh was named for his relative, the Mor Veshemesh, Kolonimus Kalman. Okay, he was Kolonimus Kalman, Rav Kolonimus Kalman Shapira. The Mor Veshemes was Rav Kolonimus Kalman Epstein. Zecher Tzadev v'kadosh l'vracha. Okay, so let's see what he says. So he says, Bo el Paro ki ani u'letaritz inyan nesinas tam. Let's explain. Why does Hashem need to give an explanation? Go to Paro because. Go to Paro because I've hardened his heart. That's why Moshe is being encouraged to go to Paro. Question number one. V'nagdim od ledaktik, and if we're paying attention, we could ask further. Shemashma sakasav mora, the implication of the pasuk is Shemosha lo haya beritzono lelechod. It's almost like Moshe didn't want to go to Paro. Do we find that? Is Moshe frustrated? Hashem needs to give Moshe chizik. I know he's not listening, but you got to keep going anyways. But what's the ki ani hechbadeti asli? Because I've hardened his heart. Do we find that Moshe's more hesitant by Makas Arba that he needs this extra push? We don't find that Moshe refused to go to Paro. Except at the beginning of the whole journey, in Parak Dalet of Shemos, when Moshe was first assigned the task, in his epic humility, Moshe Rabbeinu says, ah, who am I to go to Paro? Who am I to lead Bnei Yisrael? Who am I to be the spokesman? But after HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushed him, and according to Chazal, there was, you know, literally days of debate by the Sneh until Hashem convinced Moshe to take the job. Once he took the job, he went. So what's this like extra push? Go to Paro. Go, now you have to go to Paro. Aval achar kach, after he took the job, lo matzinu shiyah misyari milelech. We don't find that Moshe was hesitant or afraid to go. So why is Hashem encouraging? Why is Hashem pushing him here? Question number two. And furthermore, gam, lama nosantam lamakazo yoser mivamakos acheros. And why does God feel a need to explain himself here more so than by the other makos? Hashem gives like a whole history lesson. You know, you should know that I need to make a point in Mitzrayim. I want your children to know about it. I want your grandchildren to know about it. What's happening here that Hashem needs to like justify and explain what's happening that much more? And why dafka here does it sound like Hashem is hardening Paro's heart in a way that's even more so than by the other makos? Again, we know after the first five makos, Hashem started to manipulate Paro's heart, which is a big question in the Rishonim, in all the Svarim. How does God do that? What about free will? There's very deep explanations. Some of the Rishonim explain, if you never heard this Svar, you need to know this one. Some Rishonim explain that when Paro saw what was happening in Mitzrayim, so he was so overwhelmed by it that he was sort of forced to let the Jews go. Hardening Paro's heart was not robbing him of his free will, it was actually protecting his free will. You hear the Vart? It was giving him the strength to be able to continue to choose. Because naturally, after the first five makos, he was so crushed, I don't have a choice. I feel that I've been so beaten that I'm, you know, rotza ani. You know, like we learned in Gittin. Right? He's so pressured that he has no choice but to say, okay, this is what I want. But it's not what he really wants. So some Rishonim already say that Hashem was guarding Paro's internal equilibrium so that he could actually be a Baal Bechira, so he could choose. But there is, it does seem, says our Rebbe, the more of a Shemesh, it seems like there's a little bit of an extra emphasis here of Hashem hardening Paro's heart. Controlling Paro's heart a little bit more by this Makkah Arba. What's going on here? Seemingly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have started hardening Paro's heart from the fourth Makkah on. And again, we do assume usually from the fifth Makkah on, which is a question. Why is he saying from the fourth Makkah on? Because he quotes the pasuk in Iyov, "Kamaymer Hakasuv, Hein Kol Eila Yifal Kel." All of these and all of this, everything that happens, is through the guidance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pa'amayim shalosh im gaver, two or three times with a person. In other words, the pasuk in Iyov says, you know, this is the source, by the way, for baseball, right? Three strikes you're out. It's this pasuk. Pa'amayim shalosh im gaver. Hashem says, I'll give you one, I'll give you two, I'll even give you three. After three strikes, you're out. Right? There's even an idea, al-pi Kabbalah, that a person, and again, there's a lot to understand with this, and I don't understand any of it, but al-pi Kabbalah is an idea that a person is given up to three gilgulim. If you don't accomplish your mission in your lifetime, so your neshama will be sent back. If it doesn't work out the second time, it'll be sent back a third time. Right? There's a notion that after three strikes, you're out. But of course, we don't believe that so simply. Hashem is going to work it out for every neshama, so don't be nervous. We have to do our best to try to make it easy for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's something here, there's a certain, again, the more of Hashem says, there's something here that's a little bit extra. It seems like Hashem is working a little harder here to control Paro's heart. And the question is why? Why dafka by the eighth makkah is Hashem doing that? So he reveals to us a big secret that has a lot of implications and a lot of, opens up so much for you to think about and to explore. But I want you to at least know about this concept. When we talk about the 10 makkos, right? The truth is, whenever we talk about a number in Tanakh, we always make parallels. We're always looking for the connections. So Vilna Gaon writes at the Seder night, you know, the number four is a big theme, right? Four cups of wine, four questions, four sons, four Lashonos of Geula, lots of fours. Right? What's the Indian of four? Right? 10 is a very significant number. 10 is a Davar Shebe Kedusha. 10 is a minion. The Mishnah says, Ba'asar Ma'amaros Nivra Ha'olam, with 10 utterances, with 10 vayomers, so to speak, with 10 expressions of speech, God created the world. the Aseres HaDibros. Right? And the middle between getting us from what? To help us get from the world of the 10 Lishonos of creation, right? To refining and directing creation through the 10 commandments of the Torah, Har Sinai, Aseres HaDibros, right? The way we get there is through the 10 Makos. We have to suffer in Mitzrayim, but Hashem pulls us out. And the Sfasemes, whose Yahrzeit is this week, and lots of other tzaddikim talk about the relationship between the Asar Ma'amaros, the 10 utterances of creation, the 10 Makos, and the Aseres HaDibros. Okay, so do they just match up? Lamashal, right? Does the word Bereshis, which actually is the first of the expressions of speech that God used in creating the world, so does Bereshis correspond to Dam, correspond to Anochi Hashem Elokech Har Sinai? A lot of very interesting things for us to think about, to match up the pieces. Right? Which of the Makos corresponds to which of the Aseres HaDibros corresponds to which of the Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or? Put it all together. It's very interesting. But there's another group of 10 that we sometimes discuss in our shir, which is what? The 10 Sfiros. The 10 Sfiros. What are the 10 Sfiros? The 10 Sfiros are 10, we'll call them, again, it's always hard to find the right word, but we'll call them 10 different ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu filters or manifests His light into this world. The 10 Sfiros. Keser, Chachma, Bina, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus. The 10 Sfiros. Right. What we call the three intellectual attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, either called Keser, Chachma, Bina, or Chabad, Chachma, Bina, and Das. Those are the three intellectual attributes of God. And then the seven lower spheros are the seven emotional attributes of God, corresponding to the seven Ushpizen, the 7 weeks of Sfiras HaOmer, right? Avram is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gvura, v'chulu. So do the 10 spheros somehow line up with the 10 Makos? The answer is yes. The question is how? So here there's a big machlokas. Does it go from the bottom up, or does it go from the top down? In other words, is the first makkah, dam, does that correspond to the top of the spheros, keser? Or no, the makos are increasing, so we kind of have to build our way up to like the highest of the spheros. In other words, dam corresponds to malchus, the lowest of the spheros. When we get to makkahs b'choros, right, so now, oh, that's keser. Makkahs b'choros, it's Hashem Himself, right, coming to Mitzrayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Aniva lo malach, right? It's like ultimate divine revelation. So that's Keser, that's the top of the spheros. Okay, so there's different ways, and Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, tzaddikim work on this sugya. What does any of that have to do with the Makkah of Arba? So if we're going from the bottom up, which again, many tzaddikim say is the correct way to do it, so that means that the eighth Makkah, that begins this week's Parsha, Makkah's Arba, corresponds to the eighth of the spheros from the bottom up. Which is what? Which is Bina. Keser, Chachma, Bina. Right? So that means Bina is Arba, Chachma is Choshech, and Keser is Makkos Bechoros. Now, look what the Rebbe tells us. It's a Gevaldik Chassidus Shavar. Amnam Nira al Pi Mash Kasavti Lamala, Sha Eser Makkos Yotsume Eser Kedushos Mitata Le'ela. That the 10 Makos emerge from the 10, again, ways that Hashem interacts with the world, the different character traits of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol, from the bottom up. Mitata means from the bottom, le'ela, to the top, from bottom to top. V'hiku ha'asara kisrin dimisa'ava. And Hashem struck, hiku, he struck, right, Makos, he struck, the 10 kisrin dimisa'ava, the 10 manifestations of Tumah. In other words, corresponding to these 10 holy expressions of Hashem, there are 10 corresponding, you know, negativities in the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, was striking each of these kochos of Tumah as he brought the makos. And therefore what? No. So underline these next couple of words. Umakas arbe yatsami bina. So arbe corresponds to bina. V'yadua shabina hu olam hatshuva. Now we got the punchline. And Bina, we know, is always associated with tshuva. Yes? Where do we see that? Again, when we're counting from the bottom, we're talking about what? The eighth. What do we know about the number eight?
Above.
The Malam and Ateva. It's beyond this world. Tshuva is one of the things that the Gemara says in Psachim is created before the world. Tshuva is really Lamalam and Ateva, because it doesn't really make sense that I should be able sitting here right now in linear time to do time travel. What do I mean time travel? I mean I did in the Veira last week. So now I can what? I can fix that now? I can go back in time? I can operate outside of the flow of time? That's what tshuva is. Tshuva is lamalim and ateva. Tshuva goes beyond. Right? Hanukkah, we know, according to the Arizal, is the last time for a Jew to really put the finishing touches on his Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Zois Chanukah. Right? Zois Chanukah is a very chashuv day for tshuva. No, Chanukah, the 8 days of Chanukah, how do we refer to ourselves on Chanukah? Bnei Bina. Bnei Bina Yemei Shmona Kavushir Ananim. Bnei Bina, what do you mean Bnei Bina? Bnei Bina, Bina is the ability to do tshuva. Okay? A person, Atachonin La'adam Das, we ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu to give us the ability to what? To be thinking people. Right? And then immediately we start asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu for tshuva and forgiveness. That's the order of our Shmona Esrei, as the Gemara describes in Maseches Megillah. For those who remember when it goes through the order of the brachos. So Bina is always associated with tshuva. Okay? And this is not a chiddush of the Mor of Hashemesh. There's countless and countless proofs and examples of this notion of Bina being this entrance into the world of tshuva. By the way, when do we start the tshuva process? Just say, Rebbe, you're a kofer. We do tshuva every day. It's not nice to call you Rebbe a kofer. But we do tshuva, right? Tshuva is an ongoing business. But when do people like turn it up for tshuva? When do people like, oh, it's time to start to do tshuva. Elul, right? Oh, it's Elul, time to do tshuva. Right? It's supposed to do tshuva all the time. Okay, what's the gematria of Bina? How much? 67. What's the gematria of Elul? 67. Right. So Elul is a time when a Jew starts entering into the world of Bina, the world of tshuva. Right? Again, it's Yom Kippur, it's a lot. Anytime you have tshuva, you have Bina. Because what is Bina? Let me just clarify for a second. What does Rashi on Chumash say Bina is? Bina is the ability to be maven davar mitoch davar. Right? To be maven, to understand something from within something else. So how is that? Why is that tshuva? Tell me why that. Why is that tshuva? Yeah, David?
It's saying that you understand context for things.
So meaning I did an Avera, right? But I realized that the Avera has within it also a mitzvah. Every Avera has with it, that's one of the strange, mysterious, supernatural, lamalam and ateva things about tshuva. You can only get to tshuva if you want. If you first do an Avera. Right? It's like we were learning at the beginning of the Bikva Chodesh Shvat, that when you try to do tmura, which is an Avera, all of a sudden you create more Kedusha. That's a strange notion. Again, it's a very beautiful idea in terms of understanding that our mistakes, in fact, our opportunity is to grow and to build us. Right? Now, if the wheels are spinning in your head, and I'm not going to comment on it now, but I'd be curious to hear your thoughts later, so give yourself a little time to think about it. Right? Why is it, let's try to think about this for a second, what does any of this have to do with Makas Arba? How do locusts somehow correspond to this idea? Right? We've kind of skipped that part of the equation. Right? But we know that this Eif Maka corresponds to Bina. Bina was revealing itself in Mitzrayim during the Makkah of what? During the Makkah of Arba. Okay, so if so, there's this koch of tshuva in the air. Yeah? So now, who wants to say? Who wants to predict? How's the Mor of Hashemesh going to conclude the piece? Yeah, let's hear.
I mean, we just spoke about Paro with his heart being hardened.
Paro's heart is hardened, good.
We're now talking about tshuva, and when you do tshuva, you normally are like opening up, I guess, which is like kind of the opposite of what's happening a little bit. Like the whole time where Paro's like being very stubborn, because Hashem gave him that mida like of stubbornness throughout the whole entire first seven makos. And then like now it's kind of like a shift of like tshuva a little bit.
So let me ask the question like this. Chevra, are you rooting, I'm curious to hear your thoughts, are you rooting for Paro to do tshuva or not? When you read those Mamari Chazal about, I don't know, wicked people, you know, Titus HaRasha and all sorts of interesting characters who did lots of Averas, and then at the end they were Chozer B'Tshuva. When you find out, like the Gemara says, that B'nai Banav Shal Haman Lamdu Torah B'Nai Brak, that Haman's descendants learned Torah in B'Nai Brak, do you want to be the Chavrusas? You're like, I'm not learning with a einikel of Haman. When you hear, and there's very powerful and tragic and intense stories of and questions in halacha of Nazi soldiers who were chozer b'tshuva, not only in the sense that they recognized what they did wrong, but who came to appreciate the Jewish people and wanted to convert to Judaism. Someone who was responsible, as the Gemara again paints pictures of periods of Chorban in our history, of enemies of the Jewish people who murdered and murdered and murdered and then decided, you know what, I did a terrible thing, I want to... So, how do you feel about that person joining us? Do you feel like, I don't want that guy to join our team? Or do you feel like that's the godless of tshuva, and even a person who did such a wicked act, right? So it's interesting. Do we want Paro to like have this spiritual awakening or not? And again, I think there's probably a little bit of both in our hearts. On the one hand, Paro gets what he deserves. He's allowed to be Mitzrayim. Hashem make a mockery out of Mitzrayim. Give him what he deserves. On the other hand, I want him to come to recognize Hashem.
If he was Jewish or not Jewish.
So is Moshe rooting for Paro to do tshuva? Yeah, of course it does. Of course it might.
If we wanted Esav, let's say, to tshuva versus
right.
Like...
Do we want to recruit someone who is mamish, an enemy of the Jewish people, who's not even part of our people? Should we long for that person to want to join our people? So listen to what Moshe Rabbeinu is rooting for. And again, I'm sure some of us have mixed feelings about it, or maybe some of us have very strong, clear feelings about it. V'lachein achar... Shenishlamu Hasheva Makos. So therefore, after the first seven Makos were completed, Hayamisyare Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, very deep Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu says, hold on, Makos Arba corresponds to Bina. Bina brings the spirit of Tshuva to Mitzrayim, and I'm scared that now what? Paro is going to let the Jews go. Now, Moshe may not just be, you know, be acting petty that he doesn't want Paro to have the right to choose. That doesn't seem fair. You live a Russia your whole life, and then you do Tshuva at the last minute. That doesn't seem fair. And there's stories, amazing stories. Maseches Avodah Zarah, people who acquired their Olam Haba and Mishah Achas, right? They were a famous story. Everyone knows the famous story. Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya. Elazar ben Derdaya traveled the whole world to sleep with every woman he could find, mamish. And then he got Musar from a prostitute. And he was ashamed of himself, and he did tshuva. And a baskel came out of Shemayim saying, Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya, welcome to Olam Haba. Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya. And the Gemara makes the point that we're all thinking. Not only does he get into Olam Haba after living a life of taiva, but he gets smicha from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya, welcome to Olam Haba. But that's the power of tshuva. Tshuva has the ability to change everything. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu is not quite ready for power to do tshuva. Now, it also might be because he wants Hashem to be able to finish the performance, right? He wants Hashem to be able to play it out, yeah?
Yeah, we hear that he's supposed to be 10
makos,
no?
Right. 10 makos is the plan, and we see, again, clearly in retrospect, that has to happen. So Moshe's worried, Shema al yedei shahamaka shminis teitze mi bina. If the 8th maka comes from a place of tshuva, a place of bina, yispashet olam tshuva me'ela letata ad makom ervas mitzrayim, that maybe the tshuva, the revelation of tshuva in Egypt will be so powerful that even a lowly place, Erebas Haaretz, even a perverse and corrupt place like Mitzrayim, all of a sudden is going to have this spiritual awakening. And Moshe doesn't want that to happen. Yigrom zos shigam power yaseh tshuva. Maybe even the Melech Mitzrayim, the most stubborn of all, the biggest rush of them all, the one who orchestrated the whole plan against Klal Yisrael. Maybe he'll do tshuva. V'shuv lo yetze hamaka chis v'asiris mechochma v'keser. But Moshe says, but there's more divine revelation that needs to come about. It's not just a magic show. Each of the makos is revealing something about Hashem in the world. Choshech needs to bring out that mida, that sphira called chochma. And the last of the makos is going to somehow tap into the keser, the crown of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the top of the spheros. And Moshe Rabbeinu says that, but we need that to happen in the world. We need to draw on the strength of the 10 makos, not the 8 makos. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, a little bit, was hesitating to go to Paro. I don't want to give Paro the opportunity to put an end to this. So this answers all of our questions. So therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu hardened, says Hashem, says, no, Moshe, go to Paro, Leich al Paro. Not Leich, but Bo el Paro, right? Go to Paro. Why? You're nervous he's going to do tshuva? Don't worry. Ki ani echbadeti as libo. I'm going to keep him in check. I'm not going to allow him to do tshuva. V'lo yasa tshuva. V'zehu bo el Paro. V'al tidag. Don't be concerned. Shema yasa tshuva al yedei makazo. Why? Ki ani echbadeti. And that's why Hashem goes on to explain, as the Kadosh Baruch Hu does, and therefore we'll be able to what? Don't worry, you'll be able to tell your children the whole story, your grandchildren the whole story, right? How I worked through Mitzrayim from A to Z, all the way from the Malchus, the bottom of the Sefiros, all the way up to Kesar. Right? I'm going to teach Paro the lesson. Don't worry, I'm not, Hashem says, don't worry, I'm not going to, not going to end the book and, you know, end the performance prematurely. Okay? And so it's a gewaldic pshat. And it teaches us this idea that the 10 makos are very much connected to the 10 spheros. And again, there's a lot of interesting things to explore there. And it raises the question, do we want power to do tshuva or not? Is that something we should be rooting for or not? And is it just because we don't want power to, he doesn't deserve to do tshuva? Is it because we want Hashem to be able to finish his performance in Mitzrayim without being interrupted? It's very, very interesting. Yeah, David.
So, are Bnei Yisrael suffering at this point?
So, Bnei Yisrael stopped suffering as soon as Dam started.
So
they stopped suffering. They're not fully healed. The Pasuk says, the Navi says that the Makos were Nagof v'Rafo, afflicting and healing. And the Zohar explains that afflicting for the Egyptians and healing for the Jews. So, with each Makkah, we were getting healthier, spiritually stronger, physically stronger. But from the time that Makkah's Dam started, there's already a turn. The trajectory has totally been, you know, reversed.
So, in terms of like the perspective of looking at the safety and security of Bnei Yisrael, there isn't really a knock community between Makkah 8 and Makkah 10. In terms of like,
yeah,
to stop earlier.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, again, there's further. What do you mean by that?
Like, I was thinking beforehand that there's also this other group of people called Bnei Yisrael who were just slaves this entire time, and if they were still suffering, like Moshe, although you want to see Hashem flow through for all the sphere, like there's right. also an entire nation that's like
right, right. No, so right. So at this point, right, no one's suffering at this point. They're healing. They're healing. They're resting up. They're preparing for their journey ahead. They're being healed with each makkah. They're getting spiritually and physically stronger. Yeah, that's what's happening with each passing makkah. Okay, yeah, Bavi.
No, I love this explanation of, I guess, like what's going on, but I think it now brings up the question of all the mafarshim of why Hashem hardened Paro's heart, because now it seems like he didn't have bechira with this explanation.
Right here, he truly didn't have. He didn't have Bechira, which is fine. I mean, you could, that's Pashab Shad also. Again, you lose, and that's, you can't lean into that Pasuk from Eov. Right? You had a chance, you had another chance, you had another chance, you had another chance. So you already got more chances than you're supposed to get. Three strikes already. So after four, Hashem says, from five and on, you know, I'm taking over. Okay, let's hold on to the comments, just because I want to do one other piece, and it's a little bit long, so I'm happy to hear everyone's comments, but I want to make sure that we give our Rebbe the Mor of Hashemesh a chance to share one more amazing Torah with us. Okay, so let's turn the page. We need to skip ahead to the paragraph O Yomar Boel Paro. It's like two pieces after this one. You see Yesh Ledak Dek Bazeh? Anyone got it? Who's got it?
Yeah, it's
Reish Gimel on the right side. Okay, O Yomar, page Reish Gimel on the right side. O Yomar Boel Paro. You guys see it? Ki ani echbadeti, yesh ledaktik b'zeh. Okay, so let's see. Shelechora mashma shemosher lo ratza leilech al paro, al shiroa sheparo mesarev l'shalchem. Again, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pushing Moshe to go, it sounds once again that Moshe is mesarev, that Moshe is refusing to go, because paro is mesarev l'shalchem, because paro is refusing to send them. In other words, Moshe is getting frustrated. Hashem, why am I wasting my breath? Why am I keep going to Paro? You want to bring Makos? Bring Makos. Why do I have to talk to him about it every time? Shetevas ki ani mashmo nesinas tam. Because again, Hashem is saying, ki ani, because I've hardened Paro's heart. Some type of explanation. Because I hardened Paro's heart, bo el Paro. Ki ani hu shechbadeti as libo ve'enenu misariv me'atzvo. In other words, if you think Paro's annoying, Hashem says, well, don't call Paro annoying. I'm the one who's controlling this. I hardened Paro's heart. I'm stopping him from allowing the Jews to go. And this is part of my plan, so Moshe, you have to continue to play your part in acting it out with me. Okay. But Uma bekach yiyeh eich shiyeh eino rotza l'shalchem v'lama yavo elav. But the bottom line is, okay, fine, so Hashem, you're saying, no, Moshe, don't be frustrated with power. He's just being difficult because I'm making him difficult. It's all part of my master plan. So Moshe still whispers to Hashem, Okay, but still, manav shaf, like, what's the point? Why do I have to schlep back and forth to borrow? Why do I have to waste my time and waste my breath? Again, ma bekach, yeah, eich shia. Whatever the reason is that Paro is refusing to let them go, whatever that may be, the bottom line is, eino rotza l'shalchem, v'lama yavo elav. He doesn't want to send them, so why do I keep going to him? Why do I have to fake it? You just, even more so, it's wasting my time. Now that you told me, Hashem, there's nothing to negotiate even with Paro. So why am I wasting my time going back and forth to Paro? And furthermore, od kasha mashik shuma farshim, im notu mimeno abechira lama ne'anash. Again, the big question that hangs over the whole thing, which is what? That if Hashem has taken Paro's free will away, so then why, in fact, should he be punished? Okay, and again, that's a massive theological question that any Jewish thinker has to grapple with. So he quotes the Medrash. It's the pasuk I mentioned before in Mishlei. Im laleitzim hu yalitz. If you're going to act like a clown, Hashem's going to clown around with you. If you're going to be a leitz, you're going to act with leitzanis. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, with those who are scoffers, those who are mockers, those who you know, crack the jokes, so make a joke out of them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu masra ba'odam pa'amayim v'shalosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns a person one time, and a second time, and a third time. V'yam eno chozer ba, hu noa l'slibo min ha-tshuva. But if he doesn't get the message, then Hashem locks his heart from tshuva. Now, I will point out, that doesn't mean that he can't do tshuva. It just means that Hashem has put a blockage in front of you, making it harder for you to do tshuva. You're going to have to work hard if you want to overcome that. It does not mean that God has taken away the possibility of tshuva. But Hashem has locked the door. You could still kick down the door if you're strong, if you desire. You'll break down the door and find your way back. Right? But the impression is that Hashem is not going to help you to do tshuva anymore. As opposed to what we say every time we, you know, say the long tachnun, we talk about Hashem, right? And we say it over the course of Yom Noram, Yemincha pshuta lekabel shalom. Hashem's hand is outstretched. Hashem says, come, I'll help you do tshuva. By power, Hashem folds his arms and says, you're on your own. You want to do tshuva, that's your choice, but I'm not helping you anymore. Okay, but adayin kasha. Halo besof asa tshuva. Shehalach ba'atmo lemoshu le'aron v'tzak. But in the end, a little bit, in the final scene, we do see Paro. Again, you want to call it, is it tshuva? Is it just operating out of fear? But we see he's running around. He's looking for Moshe and Aaron. He's crying out. Kumutsu. Right? He finally acquiesces to the will of God. Okay, obviously he's been pressured into it. But is that called tshuva? We do see. So Hashem, you're hardening Paro's heart, but can he still do tshuva? It seems like he does do tshuva in the final scene. Furthermore, odiyesh ledaktik al tevas eile. Why does the pasuk say, I hardened Paro's heart so that I can display my signs in his midst? And the pasuk says what? Leman shisi ososai eile bekirbo. I want to put these signs. What do you mean the word eile? Just say signs. My signs. You already called them ososai. You've called them my signs. I'd say, right, my signs, these ones. I don't need the word eile. What does that add? It seems extra. Haila lomar leman shisi ososai bekirbo. Could have very simply said, I want to display my signs among them. Why didn't he say, my signs, these signs, Eila? What's the word Eila adding? Okay. Gam kosha masha amar lamante saper. Furthermore, again, the second pasuk I read you, that you're going to tell it over to your children. Halo benisim shiro b'sheva makos harishonos hayedai l'saper godo mailas hanisim shal yisiyas Mitzrayim. As some of you implied before, if Hashem would have stopped it after seven makos, we wouldn't have a Pesach Seder. We wouldn't have what to talk about at the Seder. We wouldn't be able to print Haggadahs. We can't make good pictures with Dam Tzvadei Akinam Arav Devashchim. There wasn't enough to go around. There's plenty to go around. And lastly, what's the V'yadatim Ki Ani Hashem? And why, again, a phrase that we see a lot in these parshios, with the goal, the stated goal, that what? And you'll come to realize that I am Hashem. What's that about? Gam lashon v'yadatim ki ani Hashem einu medukdak hayelalomar v'yadatim es Hashem. Could have just said, you'll come to know Hashem. You'll know that I am Hashem. What do you mean? Hashem has to say, I am Hashem. Of course, just say, you'll know Hashem. You'll come to know Hashem. They'll know that Hashem, yurke vavke, haya hova viya. They'll know that God is eternal. Ani Hashem, what's the ani? Okay, number of questions. So, however, the answer is one basic yisod, and that is, v'nira b'zeh. However, we have to think about the fact that as Jews, we're expected to live with Yetzias Mitzrayim, not just at the Pesach Seder. Every day of our life, a Jew is supposed to live with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Even if you don't say the Sheish Zechiros in the back of your Siddur, right? Every time you say Shema, the third paragraph of Shema is Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're obsessed with Mitzrayim. Go through the Sefer HaChinuch. How many mitzvahs do we do in the calendar year and in our daily experience that takes us back to Mitzrayim? Every time I make Kiddush Friday night, we're talking about Mitzrayim. When I put on my tefillin, I'm remembering Mitzrayim. This week's Parsha. Very last pasuk in this week's Parsha. We're obsessed with Mitzrayim. Why are we so obsessed with Yetzias Mitzrayim? Hagam shebamasha anu maskirim godol ha'neis, gam kei mitzvah gedola lefi pshuto. Not only is it recalling the miracles of Mitzrayim, but it's remembering leaving Mitzrayim. We're obsessed with it. Why? To understand the purpose of all of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara kol ha'olamos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And as simple as it is to know that, it's one of the hardest things to know. To live with the sense that there's a borei olam, that Hashem created the world. Vayikir ritzoni yisbarach kedei sheyedu kulam shehu yisbarach mahava kol havayot. And the goal is, the stated goal is that what? That we should all live with the awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator of all that exists. And Hashem is Shofeya, Hashem is Mashpia. His Chiyus, His life-giving energy into everything. Ve'im Chalila Yistalik Chiyuso Mehem Af Rega Echad. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would stop willing every one of us into existence for even a moment, if Hashem took His eye for 1 second off of Evan, or Mikey, or Mendy, if Hashem for a second stopped paying attention to any of us, or Shlomo, any of us, for a second, if Hashem for 1 second withdrew, we would cease to exist. Not that we would die, we would cease to exist. You understand? It's not that we'd fall to the floor, God forbid, like and just be dead. No, we wouldn't exist. We would, like, off the screen. We would disappear. Every second Hashem is Mechaya, every second, pumping life into us. Every second. And if you would withdraw that for Rega Echad, for a moment, Ye Efes Vato, everything would go back to utter nothingness. Vizeu Malchuso Bakol Mashallah, and that's what it means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingdom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus governs all. It's not just that God sits on His balcony in His palace in Shemayim and looks down at the world. Hashem is very active in running the world. Hashem is mechadesh b'chol yom tamid ma'asa bereishis, and not just b'chol yom, b'chol rega, every second, Hashem is pumping life into you, which is the biggest musar shmuz in the world. Before we go any further, that's the biggest musar shmuz in the world. That means every second of your life, no matter what you're doing, whether it's the biggest mitzvah, the biggest avera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that exact moment is pumping you with life. That's wild. That's a big musar. You're giving me life and I'm using it against you, Hashem. You give me the power to speak, which is a wondrous gift, and I'm using it to slander someone else. It's terrible. It's abusive. V'zeu ikar avodas Hashem, she'asig adam, she'kol ha'dvarim v'chol ha'bruim v'chol ha'avayos. The goal of the essence of avodas Hashem is to recognize that everything and all creation, all that exists, einam kayamim elo b'chiyuso yizbarach, only exists because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire for that thing to exist. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu filling it with life every moment. V'ef shar lasos, look at this, shum tenua kala. You can't make a simple move. You can't say a single word. You can't hold that pen, Reb Noam. You can't hold that pen or write a single letter without a Kadosh Baruch Hu what? Without a Kadosh Baruch Hu making it happen. Bilti ritzono yizbarach shemo. You can't, Avi, you're nodding head. You can't do that without Hashem. Hashem is giving you the koch right now to be able to do that. That's a wild idea. It's like very overwhelming, right? When you start paying attention to every little move that you make, every move, it's wild. And now here's a very humbling line. Says our Rebbe, the Mor V'Shemesh, that even a mitzvah that you do, and you feel, I'm a good guy, no? Got up this morning, went to davening, put on tefillin, learning Torah, working on the fourth parak of Gittin. You know, look how busy I am doing for you, Hashem. Hashem says, just for the record, you actually can't think and you can't speak and you can't move and you can't do anything without me. So what does that mean? Does that mean I'm not actually doing the mitzvahs? You're doing the mitzvahs, Hashem? Now that gets a little trippy in our minds, yeah? But the lesson of that is what? Ein lahachzik tova la'atzmo klal. A Jew should never say, oh, look what I'm doing. Look who I am. Look what I've become. To brag and to say, look what I've accomplished. It's a very humbling vart to realize that, you know what? All of my success, physical, spiritual, everything, it's just you, Hashem. Ki ha'odam eino osa shum davar rak Hashem yisbarach ba'atzmo. Hashem is living through me. Now again, we have bechira, so I have to try to be helpful to Hashem, to make the good choices. But even when I make the good choices, I don't pat myself on the back and say, wow, look what I did. I say, thank you, Hashem, for letting me be your tool to perform that mitzvah. It's a very high level of humility. Kamo sheshamati mitzadikim, like I've heard from tzadikim, the parish of the pasuk, ki tov zamra elokeinu. What does the pasuk say? In Tehillim, ki tov zamra elokeinu. Tov zamra elokeinu. It doesn't say to be mezamer, to sing lelokeinu, to our God. But good is the singing of Hashem. Hashem sings through us. However, we're like a megaphone. That's how some of the tzaddikim, Tarvitcher Meyer, Morgenstern Shlita once explained it. We're like a microphone. Right? We're the tool. Hashem. Imagine someone has had a beautiful voice, right? And he's singing into a microphone. So the microphone, right, feels that it's I'm this. Look at this voice coming through me. But it's not your voice. It's not the microphone's voice. It's the singer's voice. You're just the tool. Now you're an important tool. You allow the voice of the singer to be heard, you know, through the world. You're the speaker in the corner that's allowing the people in the back of the room to hear, right? But you're not the speaker, right? You're just the speaker. So we have to, with humility, have to say, okay, Hashem, you've made me your tool, right? You've made me a tool to bring your light into the world. Hashem is baruch v'zamer ba'atzmo. Hashem is the one who's playing the music. Everything is just from Hashem himself. And if a person understands this, a person will be humbled before Hashem, because he'll know that it's not me. But it's that humility that lets you become great. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest. And the Torah says he's not the smartest, he's not the richest, he doesn't have the fanciest car, the nicest house. Right? He's not the funniest guy. He's not the best looking guy. What's the quality of Moshe that defines everything about him? Humility. Moshe kibel Torah misinai. Moshe got the Torah misinai because he was humble like Har Sinai. As Tzaddikim explained in the Mishnah Perkei Avos. When you're humble, when you make yourself small, that's when you become big. I'll give you the mashal that Tzaddikim give. Every one of us is a drop of godliness in this world. Hashem is the ocean. So think about it. You have a choice. You could be a tiny little drop, an independent drop, right? Which is incredible, because every drop has within it all the qualities of the ocean, of the entire ocean, even though it's just a drop of the ocean. Or you could have the humility to take your drop and what? Throw it back into the ocean. Now, why is that terrifying? Because I don't stand out as much. I can't recognize my drop in the same way. But what happens when my drop gets reabsorbed in the ocean? I become so much bigger. Right. So when I humble myself, when I connect myself to the source of all sources, it doesn't make me small, it makes me so much bigger. You understand? When Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, lives as a drop that's always connected to the ocean, he's so much bigger. Okay? So that's the choice that we have to make. If Basha Einkin and Mizgah Khalil, if a person acts with haughtiness, Lomer Ani Chacham, look how smart I am. Or Shemachtich Atmo Be'ezah Mailu Mida, look how great I am in this or that. Who nifrad chalila me'akadosh baruch hu. He separates himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ein tzarech lomar im hu mizgah chutz mi'avodas Hashem. That's true even in the Avodas Hashem. Well, the more so if he starts bragging about things that are really not him. Oh yeah, it was my financial success. It was my business idea. It was my... Again, we have to do our ishtadlus. But we can never say kochi va'otzem yadi. It was my effort, it was my strength that made me who I am. With humility, we have to say it's all from Hashem. Woe to the person who says this. But even one who brags, not just in things of this world, but even a person who acts full of himself in Avodas Hashem, he thinks he's better than everyone else. He says, look what a big Avodas Hashem I am. Look how beautifully I daven. Look how smart I am in learning. Hashem says, whoa, I'm not. Hashem pulls back. You build a wall between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like it says in Sota, Ein ani vahu yecholim ledur ka'achas. Hashem says, I can't. It's either you or me, buddy. If you're filling up the whole room, there's no space for God. God says, I'll go elsewhere. Hashem says, I'll take my presence elsewhere. V'shamati meharav ha-magid HaKadosh. Listen to this vart. He quotes from Yechiel Michal of Zlachev, one of the early Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. Perish ha-pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Anochi omeid ben Hashem uveinechem. The Pashup Shat is Moshe says, I'm the middleman between you and Hashem. What's the Chassidus Shat? Anochi omeid ben Hashem uveinechem. You know what gets between you and God? Anochi. When you say Anochi, it's me. It's I. The only one who's allowed to say Anochi is who?
Hashem.
Anochi, Hashem, Elokecha. The way Hashem introduced himself to us at Har Sinai. Shema Adam Machzik Atzmo Le'eza Bar Maila. If you think you're a big shot, Osa Bezem Meisachu Mavdil. So then you put a wall between you and a Kaddish Baruch. Chaver, the hour is getting late, so let's just jump to the punchline, because you can see where the Rebbe's going. Let's jump to the end. Says the Rebbe, if you jump to the paragraph where he wraps it all up, Umizena Vo Lebir Haksuvim. So now let's go back to the Pesukim and just explain all the questions we asked at the beginning, because we got the Asad now. We have the idea. Let's go back to our psukim. Moshe doesn't want to go to Paro because he says Paro is so stubborn. What's the point? Go to Paro. The Pashup Shad is because I have hardened Paro's heart. Perush. Machmas she'amar ani Paro. But says the Mor of Hashem, which is a beautiful var. What's hardening Paro's heart?
Ego.
His own ego. Right? Ki ani hechbadati. Not Hashem saying, I, Hashem, have hardened his heart. Ani, it's the Paro's sense of ani. It's Paro's inability. It's Paro's pathetic, you know, practice of urinating in the Nile to pretend that he's a god, so that he's urinating on his god so that he can pretend he's also a god. Going to the bathroom in the Nile River in the morning. So it looks like he doesn't have to relieve himself. What a clown. What a balgaiva. Right? Who is this Hashem? I never heard of Hashem. That's what Paro says. Who is this Hashem? Ani Paro. Right? Chutzpah. Ani Paro. I'm a self-made man. That ani, ki ani hechbadati asle Paro. That sense of ani can destroy a person. When a person doesn't have the bittul to Hashem, it destroys a person. Perish machmas shamar ani Paro. It's that sense of ani Paro that was garam li shechbadati aslibo. Hashem says, of course I have to take over and show power that he's not in charge. Because he's the biggest Baal Gaiv ever. He thinks he's in charge of the whole world. So I have to show him that, no, you're not. You're not in charge of your own heart. You're not in charge of your own emotions. Kadesha yulka achi yase tshuva. I'm going to force power to understand that I'm in charge of the world. Vizesh amar akasov. And that's pshat in the pasuk. Laman shisi oso sai eila bekirbo. What does eila mean? We learned it yesterday. What's the difference between an eila and a ve'eila? Ve'ela Shemos, right? Eila Hadvar. Ve'ela is a continuation. Eila comes to what? To negate. So Hashem says what? I'm going to what? I'm going to negate Paro. I'm going to break Paro by placing my signs Bikirba within him. Not just in his midst, in Mitzrayim. But I'm going to take over his heart. Right? I'm going to passel him. Hine komakum shenemar Eila, wherever you find the word Eila, passel es harishonim. Eila comes to discredit. I'm going to show power. You are not in charge of anything, not even yourself, let alone your country, let alone the world. I'm going to make you, power, retract all your prior statements. Eila. You're going to get up in a press conference and you're going to say, everything I told you until now, Eila. None of it was true. Eila is undoing everything that I said until now. Power is going to learn what it means to be humble. Lufize lo nita mimenu abechira klal. It's not that Hashem is taking away Paro's bechira. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to crush Paro's blinding gaiva. And when Hashem knocked Paro back to his senses, and by the way, we're all guilty in our own way of being blinded by our own efforts and by our own success, so we have to be mekabel the Musar Shmuz also. When I knock Paro back into place, so then of course he recognizes there's a God, and he comes running to Moshe and Aaron. Oh yeah, what have I done? He gets it. V'gamar Omer, and therefore the pasuk concludes. Laman tesaper bozne bincha, and I want you to tell this story over to your children. Perish, she tesaper lehem, sha'osel shesamti, Hayibishvil Gaivas Paro. That Hashem says, I have to do all these makos to humble Paro. Shall Yedeza Nilkab Eser Makos, Kadesh Shal Yilmudu Mizeh Midas Hachna. Because we need to know, not only Paro needs to know, we need to know, Chevra. V'yadata, what's the end of the pasuk? Ki Ani Hashem. You have to know that anytime you think about saying I, Ani, you have to catch yourself and say, no, Hashem. My Ani is Hashem. My sense of I, my sense of self, it's not really me. V'yadatam ki ani Hashem. So I'll tell a story that I told some of you before. I'll just end with a story. There's a story that the Baal Tanya once came to visit the Maggid of Mezrich. Some of you remember the story. I'll tell it quickly. The Baal Tanya came to visit the Maggid of Mezrich. Zuchus Yagen Aleinu. And he came to the door, he knocked on the door, and the Maggid said, who is it? So he says, Ich, it's I. Who? Ich. Just tell him it. You recognize his voice? The Baal Tanya. Ich, it's I. Who? Who's there? Ich. Who? So he says, Shneir Zalman. Oh, Shneir Zalman, why did you say so? He opens the door. He says to the Baal Tanya, he says, listen, I have a mission for you. I need you to do me a favor. Okay, what is it? He said, there's a the town over, someone's making a bris. I'm not able to go. I want you to be my representative to go. Wish Mazel Tov. You go to the bris on my behalf. Okay. So he goes to the bris. Fine. And afterwards he joins the Suda, he sits down. And no one really recognized, no one's really sure who he is. No one really is sure, you know, people didn't recognize him at that time. And towards the end of the meal, as they're cleaning up, so all of a sudden someone says, comes out of the kitchen, so to speak, and says, some silverware is missing. We put out very fancy silverware for the Suda's mitzvah. Someone stole some of the silverware. So everyone looks at the Baal Tanya. He's the outside. No one knows who this guy is. Where'd he come from? He showed up us out of nowhere, claiming to be a messenger of the Maggid. Oh, it's probably this guy. So they start looking at him. They're like, you must be the Ganav. He says, Ganav? Ich bin nicht der Ganav. I'm not a Ganav. He says, you're the Ganav. Ich bin nicht der Ganav. He says, saying it over and over, Ich bin nicht der Ganav. I'm not a Ganav. All of a sudden, the waiter comes out of the kitchen and says, oh, we made a mistake. Actually, everything's accounted for. And he's embarrassed. He goes back to the Maggid. He says to the Maggid of Mezrich, what was that? He sent, the Rebbe had sent him. So Rebbe said, you remember what happened when you came to my house? And you knocked on the door. And I said, who is it? And how'd you respond? You said, Ich. You said, I. And I said, who? You said, I. Ich. I said, who? You said, I. So I wanted to teach you such a deep Torah. He said, I wanted to teach you for every time a Yid in this world says, Ich, I, he has to say, Ich bin nicht, I am not. You have to say, Ich bin nicht gegangen, Ich bin nicht gegangen, Ich bin nicht. That's the pshat. V'yadatem ki ani Hashem. To know that your ani is really Hashem. That anything that you feel is you is not you, it's really a Kodesh Baruch. Okay? So we should be zechut to have the humility that Paro Rasha didn't have. Okay, shkoyach. Let's take a little break. Hey, I told you that's your homework assignment.